from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Dig your cleats in.
Line drive sailing away from Molina.
Oh! An impossible catch. Oh, my goodness.
This is the Hot Corner with Patrick Harris and Joe Fisher.
What did I do wrong? What did I see wrong?
Covering all things baseball, the big leagues, and the MLB to Portland.
And there's another rocket. Mike Trout has tied it up with an absolute bomb to the top of the facade in left center field. Talk about Stanton territory. Trout hammers it, and it's 4-4, 473 feet.
Now, here are your hosts, Patrick Harris and Joe Fisher on 1080 The Fan.
Welcome into the Hot Corner, for it is a Tuesday, for it is always a Tuesday. And no, it is not the cigarette-filled, gravelly voice, Patrick Harris, for the second straight week. The slacker. I cannot believe that guy.
Is he in Disneyland again?
I wish. I'm actually very jealous, scrolling through his Instagram page, which he changed his Instagram handle name recently. It is now PH_human rain delay.
Oh, I like that.
I don't know what that means, but it's baseball related, so he gets a pass. But yeah, he just did the old photo dump of he took a big old Instagram dump and put all the photos of his Disneyland trip out there in Anaheim. He has got pictures of the magic, the views. He's got the Star Wars area that down there now. I have not been there since they did the whole Star Wars thing, but pictures of the family, them on all the rides, having a great time. So yeah,
Star Wars Land is a must see, even for adults.
You know, that's where Patrick and I differ on Star Wars. He loves Star Wars.
Okay.
Absolute. Like, actually going through the pictures, I saw a picture of his kids at the the cantina or whatever.
Yes, that would be the Jedi stop or wherever the first,
whatever the hell that
first the movie they get into a fight in with Obi-Wan Kenobi. That would be the cantina. Yes,
I was just thinking we need to make some sort of open with the cantina music.
Star Wars cantina. Yes,
I just want to hear that. If I can hear that music just like once a week, I think I'd be much happier in this life.
Maybe when we get to a football season, football Sunday, maybe that's one. I love it. I love it. We can do it. We can make it work.
But yeah, he is not at Disneyland. He was there last week with the family. He is out at your are my Portland Pickles right now, which I'm pretty sure their first pitch is like literally right now.
Just I'm crowd not going wild.
I'm not gherking your chain. That's where he's at right now.
What? Thanks, Dad.
Hey, I had to do it, all right? I had to do it. It's not that big of a deal, okay?
Oh, my God. You know what? Just start making these jokes while you're carrying around, like, the jumbo pickle right. from the state fair, and then you're peak dad.
Were those jokes not kosher with you? Dude, I'm on one right now.
You're on fire.
He is at the Portland Pickles game for a work outing, which is coincidental because this Friday we are also going to be out at the Portland Pickles game. Not like us as in 1080 The Fan. Some of us from 1080 The Fan will be there. But the whole Odyssey Portland team, well, again, I lied, not the whole Odyssey Portland team. God, getting people to respond to a simple calendar invite, didn't realize how hard that was going to be. I helped arrange this whole team outing for Friday and stuff. So sent out multiple emails letting people know, like, hey, this is when the date is. You know, if you can just hit, you know, yes or no on the counter invite. In fact, I think, Jordan, you're one of those people that did not respond.
Can I still respond, or is that out right now? Or
you can
the
give your
passed?
Response literally right now.
I mean, I can ask the wifey again. I think I brought it up to her. We're so ADHD in my house. It has nothing to do with you, Joe, or people trying to get the answer for the invite. It's that my ADHD ass can't actually remember after asking my wife a question, you know, 48 hours later, if we're, you know, going to actually follow through or whatever the hell we said or not. So
and that's my
problem.
Well, and that's what I figured, too. I was like, listen, I like knowing of things well in advance. So that way I can put it on the calendar, book it. It's locked in. Right.
Yeah.
If something pops up the day of or a couple days before, I'm usually not too crazy about it because I'm just like, didn't plan for it. It's not on the calendar. I'm not mentally prepared unless it's something drastically fun. Or like a round of golf, then usually I can be like, yeah, let's make it happen.
Yeah, everybody has exceptions. Come on.
Yeah, golf is one of them. But so maybe we get a couple scragglers here at the end. But should be a good little group out there at the Portland Pickles game on Friday. It's Portugal the Man night.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're actually going to be there. I doubt it. I doubt that they're going to be performing. I'm sure that the price for that is a little bit, maybe, I don't know, maybe they give the hometown discount for that. But
I was going to say, yeah, there's if I were as famous as Portugal the Man, I would definitely give a little Portland discount to all the people from here.
So, Patrick's at the Pickles game tonight. I don't think he's going to be there on Friday. He is another one that did not RSVP. You know, shocker, the majority of people that did not RSVP to that calendar invite, 1080 The Fan on-air personalities. So,
not surprised. I have, since I've been here, thrown two parties, a Halloween party and a Super Bowl party, and 90% of the 1080 The Fan staff did not get back to me. Either way. So.
I was probably one of them.
I think you were.
Knowing myself.
I've evened it out here for you. No, I'm just kidding. It really was brought up amongst my wife and I. We just forgot. So it's not like we were trying to,
hey, you do
trying
you,
to knock it out.
You do you. But let's see here. I believe that Andy did actually respond to the calendar invite. Brandon Sprague did not respond to the calendar invite.
Sprague.
Danny Meringue did not respond to the invite. Patrick Harris did not respond. Ryan Buckley. I even threw it out to Will Darkins and Will Ortner. No response.
But like, I bet Dusty responded. Dusty's always good about that.
Dusty will be going. He did not technically RSVP to the calendar invite, but he did email me back saying he will be going. So,
I think that's even better than just hitting yes or no.
Yes, yes. And so he was nice enough to let me know that via email that he will be in attendance for that one. And it was one of those where, like, listen, I know that the email to one Jason Sukanik and Isaac Ropp, those probably went unread. But
probably. But the house I don't own.
Yeah, the odds are not in their favor. But the girlfriend and the BTJ, Suk's girlfriend, they made sure that the RSVP, the event, that he was aware of it. So I think he's showing up like after the show.
Oh, yeah, a little Suk appearance. Let's go.
But yeah, looking forward to it. Always a great day out at the ballpark, regardless of if it is a Wood Summer Collegiate Bat League, as I mix up all those words, or if it is a Major League ballpark. It's always great.
Yeah, I do like to hear the crack of the wood bat. Honestly, the aluminum ping gives me a headache after two innings, bro. And I'm not trying to bag on college baseball as a whole. It sounds annoying. Like, come on, back me up on this, please.
I'm indifferent, you know, because it is. I feel like the ping of the metal bat. It's nostalgic. It reminds me of the Little League days. And in fact, I think I might be trying to go to a batting cage here soon. There's one in Tigard.
Ooh.
And I want to go get some cuts in the cage. I want to go and I don't know how like sophisticated this place is. I'm sure they, you know, you can crank up the MPHs, but I wonder if you can get some breaking balls in there, if they have like if their pitching machines are that sophisticated.
Oh, they can throw like some sweepers in.
Yeah, give me some real nasty junk. But there's one in Tigard which is you know, close. I think it's right over by Washington Square.
I think you're right. Yeah, I've driven by it, actually. Just never been there.
I think it's in the same kind of warehouse, open-air place that they used to have that trampoline park.
Uh-huh, yes.
And then too many people were, like, almost dying, so they probably had to close down.
Yeah, you wonder how much insurance costs for a business
like that. Oh, dear God. Hey, can you sign these 40 forms of waivers, please, so that way you can sue us? I actually had a friend... Well, he was a brother of a friend, but, you know, I knew him during high school and after high school, too. And one of, like, the most athletic people I know dove into the foam pit and somehow ended up in the foam pit in the wrong angle and had a severe neck injury to, like, luckily he's back. You know, he's fine now, but it was a rough road for a bit. Like, I don't know if it's vertebrae or something in his neck, but... and I'm pretty sure we don't have any of those trampoline parks or whatever as a advertiser. So,
yeah, I was just going
to
guess.
This is my PSA. Yeah. Don't go to them. Yeah, don't go jumping in foam pits. Don't go playing trampoline dodgeball or whatever the hell, trying to do gainers with your buddies. Just stay away from those.
No, I was hopefully guessing that we don't have any of those or just regular trampoline sponsors out there either, because
be cool to have, I mean, hey, a trampoline sponsor? I mean, I would give a pat on the back to whoever sold that account.
I mean, I agree, but then at the same time...
like, how the hell did you do that, bud?
Every time you mention this, I think of my old next-door neighbor when he was 12. We both loved to, you know, hang out, shoot hoops at the end of our street. Had, like, just, like, it wasn't even a cul-de-sac. It was just, like, a forest behind the end of our street. We had a basketball set up there, a hoop set up there. We'd always hang out and play together. And then he had a trampoline in his backyard. One afternoon, he fell... kind of half off the trampoline coming down from one of the jumps, broke his back. I mean, we're talking like a 12-year-old kid, and I will never forget the years of surgery that he had to go through to fix that. And it is just so scary to imagine anybody on one of those. Those are dangerous.
I fell off a trampoline once. I don't know if it was missed. I can't remember exactly how it happened, but I just remember repeating over and over again, "Ow, ow, ow." It was not fun.
That was not good.
I think it was a solid little knee slam to the concrete down below. What will be much more fun than falling off a trampoline or a severe neck injury is this show. Got plenty of baseball stuff to get to.
Oh, yes, we do. I might go on a rant or two tonight. I'm just letting you all know.
Oh, boy. I don't blame you because it's rough sledding right now for your Seattle Mariners. That is for sure. And in fact, it has to do with our poll question that is up on Twitter, the 1080 The Fan Twitter account. I tweeted out earlier in the day around 11:30 noonish to get a few more responses and get some votes tallied in here.
You're a nooner, huh? All right.
Poll question brought to you by 54% win percentage.
Shut the hell up.
Hey, I didn't say it. If the Mariners miss the playoffs, what is most likely to happen after the season? Service and DePoto fired. Service gone, DePoto safe. Service safe, DePoto gone. Or service and DePoto stay. Right now, the number one answer as far as votes, Service and DePoto both fired, 38.7%. But this is what cracks me up. You know what's in second place? Service and DePoto stay at 32.3%.
That's the most Pacific Northwest division I've ever heard.
19.4%. They say that if anybody, you know, if those two options are not there, Service would be gone, DePoto would be safe. And then, so basically, they say that if anybody's going to be the patsy here, That is going to be sacrificed, like the sacrificial lamb at the end of the year. It's going to be Scott Service.
That's a really good question. Honestly, I feel like it's on both of them for different reasons that we're going to get into. But the split, yeah, that just sounds like PNW sports fan just to a T.
It also sounds like the Mariners to a T. It's like, all right, let's just blow it all up. Or actually, let's just keep this going, huh?
Sit on the fence? Yeah.
Let's not do anything. Well, everything's fine.
Let's ride both sides of the fence. It's okay.
But we got a lot to get to today. Trade or fade? It's a game I want to play because next week we will be past a trade deadline on this very show. I believe it ends at noon or 3 o'clock. I forgot because of the time zone. Next Tuesday, though, is the trade deadline. So by the time we are here next week, perfect time for Patrick to come back. Trade deadline will be passed. So I want to name some players and you and I both can say trade or fade. Fade the idea of these guys getting traded, basically.
Love it. Okay. All right.
The AL MVP race just got a bit more interesting. The Dodgers are annoying while the Braves are annoyed. We're about 100 games in, just over 100 games in, so I thought we could look at the most disappointing teams in baseball. And then, if we have time, the balls of a certain parlay that I saw today, baseball-related. Couldn't believe it. And it hit. We will get to all that, but first, let's start with the Mariners. Boy, things are ripping off the seams like a baseball that got hit into orbit, and it is falling apart, and it is busting at the seams, and then you just all you have is that rubber cork, basically, at the end of it. Let's get to the Mariners and the not-so-good week that they've had. Right here, the Hot Corner, 1080 The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I appreciate the Vancouver Ford text line, 503-864-6326. Your dollar goes further at Vancouver Ford. They treat you right before, during, and after the sale. Visit them at vancouverford.com. Someone said Danny didn't respond because there's going to be a cargo short sale at Sears, and that's why he's missing the Port of Pickles game. And this is where my search history might get flagged by the FBI, is because I responded to the texter. I was like, I believe also a sale on bone saws and hydrochloric acid. And then I had to Google. I was like, what type of acid decomposes bodies? And I'm like, oh boy, that's definitely getting flagged by the FBI right there.
No, the key is you're
like, let's just put that Gmail account on red alert.
You go into
now.
The hardware store and ask that in person. And you do so with.
What's the best type of acid that helps decompose his body? What aisle is that on? Oh, sorry. This is the lumber section. That's not my section. Getting rid of a dead body, that's going to be aisle 47 at Home Depot.
Yeah, Cletus can help you with that over here. Yeah. God.
But we appreciate all you out there listening tonight, whether it is on the old radio, the Odyssey app, 99.5 HD2, or on YouTube or Twitch for the kids. I hope there aren't any kids on Twitch watching or listening after that conversation we just had. And I hope there aren't a lot of kids watching the Seattle Mariners right now, because that is not baseball that you want to teach your kids, okay? Well, maybe the pitching aspect, but not really after last night. This is, it's all coming to a head right now. And the injuries are part of it. It just came down earlier today that Julio Rodriguez, 10-day IL, J.P. Crawford, 10-day IL.
Yep.
He's got a fractured pinky. And then Julio with his mild ankle sprain. And then earlier in the week, you got Ty France, DFA'd. And then you lose the division lead officially. I think right now, as it stands, it is tied between the Houston Astros and the Seattle Mariners. The Mariners are playing right now. I think the Astros, I changed the channel. I got the Phillies and Twins on right now.
No, it's all good. Yeah, percentage points below, essentially, the Mariners would be fighting for the wild card if the playoffs started today, and they would be out of the wild card. So,
we've hit a low point, Schultzy. And with a week before the trade deadline, I don't know if it's... I just don't know if it's going to matter anything they do at the trade deadline. Like they say, like, oh, well, they got to get a bat. Oh, well, they need to get bats. They need to get plural here. And I just don't know if there is one bat that is out there, because even if they do get one really good hitter, Randy Arozarena, Luis Robert, hell, they trade for Vladimir Guerrero Jr. Well, Vlad's been playing pretty well for his Toronto Blue Jays, but as you see, there's nine guys that bat in a lineup, if you didn't know that about baseball, and you need the collective unit to be hitting well. And the Mariners have not been doing that this entire year, so I think it's more than just one guy, and you would really need this team to flip the switch, and you would need multiple guys to flip that switch. And right now, two of your quote-unquote best hitters, they're not showing it this year, but Julio Rodriguez, J.P. Crawford, they're out for at least 10 days. One of your former All-Stars, Ty France, no longer on the team. Cal Raleigh, while he provides power, not hitting for average this year. Mitch Haniger, Mitch Garver, your acquisition. I mean, we know the story of this team, so I just feel like the ship has sailed, and there isn't really a move that's going to maybe change the trajectory of this season and where it's headed. If you make the playoffs, great, but... I mean, how much confidence do you... The confidence you have is in pitching, but everybody's pitching is good in the playoffs. So again, it's just like, is there a move? Is there anything that can happen? I mean, is the light bulb going to go off? We thought maybe with them firing their offensive coordinator, their bench coach, yeah, that might have done something.
Brant Brown, a scapegoat? No.
So it's just, as much as we are belaboring the point that they need to make a move, and they're saying that they kind of need to make a move for the most part. I don't know. Like, DePoto's in that front office is giving mixed signals. One day they're like, oh, well, we want to make a move, but I don't know if we can make a move, so I don't think we will make a move. Now we're hearing reports that they're aggressively looking. So, again, I just don't know. Is it like they just make it a lost season and they just, you know, let's try and win it for the skipper, the gipper, whatever, and just go for it? But, again, it's just... There has to be a major light switch moment for this team where you have multiple guys in this lineup starting to hit.
Well, it's obviously been disappointing to this point. You know, Ty France, he was, for the better part of 3 years, one of the best hitters in this lineup.
Yeah.
And there have been a major regression from a lot of these guys. And it's not just a regression, frankly. It's been terrible. It has been awful, no good, crappy, just not professional. There are so many words that you could use to describe either the organizational approach to the plate right now. Mitch Haniger is hitting under 210. He's letting fastballs go down the middle just like Mitch Garver is. And Haniger can't run or field right now. He's making $16 million. What was he offering you when you decided to acquire him, Jerry DePoto? You got to tell us at this point, because we're not seeing it. Same with Mitch Garver, who was the big $24 million free agent, the most that you've given to a hitter since you've been here in free agency. It's unbelievable that these decisions, literally a year after Colton Wong, AJ Pollock, Tommy La Stella, don't work out. And you can say what you want about the organizational ownership's decisions, putting them in a position financially, fine. But I'm looking at these decisions that Jerry DePoto has made, and then further on, looking at the management of these players by Scott Servais. I'm pissed. I'm past disappointed. I'm past upset. I'm so tired of watching this team night after night, Joe. Almost look feeble, almost look like a double A team at the plate against very mediocre pitchers. And once again, I wonder, is it their organizational approach? Nothing changed after they fired Brant Brown. They hit for what, 3 days, and then regressed right back to the mean. I'm pretty sure I was at the last game that Ty France hit a home run at. That was in early June. They can't hit to save their lives. Why? Teoscar Hernandez says that the hitting issue is maybe because of a crooked batter's eye, maybe crooked with home plate versus the pitcher's mound. He can't really see the pitcher straight on. Whatever the reason, major changes need to be made. Now, does that mean firing Scott Servais right now? Does that mean firing Jerry DePoto right now? I hope something happens. You heard Scott Servais last night, very upset, calling his team out for, I think, the first time in the decade that he's been here. And to answer your question, Joe, should the Mariners just give up at this point because of this frustration that they've had because Ty France has hit .160 in the last 24 games? You can't give up. You still have the best pitching staff and the youngest pitching staff in the league. They have the second best ERA still. And I know your bullpen, I've been saying it for years, that they've been built on a house of cards, right? We're seeing the cracks. With no Matt Brash, the replacement that you bring in for him, Ryan Stanek, he's starting to crumble. We're seeing the cracks in this foundation. And you've just kind of been putting popsicle sticks and tape on your pitching staff, but specifically the bullpen. But because you've got five young, controllable starters, plus a good Luis Castillo, who's very, very cheap for a starting pitcher right now in baseball, Joe, you're doing your fans and your organization a disservice if you still don't try to go and get a Vladdy Guerrero Jr., because your lineup right now looks like a 4A lineup. It's bad. So yes, you still have to go trade, but I don't know if I trust DePoto and Servais to actually handle those decisions and handle the players that they're going to bring in. So I'm kind of torn.
And this is why I said, like, I don't know what you do, because do you give up young talent to try and acquire a bat when eight other dudes in the lineup are playing just as crappy as any other player on that lineup? Like, it's a, you look at this team, there is no, well, the one shining light is a guy that got acquired like a month or two ago, Victor Robles. He actually hasn't been too bad for them.
No, he's been hitting .400 since the Mariners picked him up. It's crazy. It's because he hasn't been affected by the organization's approach, in my opinion.
So that's where it's tough, where, like, you're in this spot where maybe early in the year you were like, okay, we need a bat. But again, one bat is not going to save this team at this point. It's going to take a collective swing for this team to completely change the trajectory. And you're right, it's not a give up, because look, you're right in the thick of the division. You got to go for it, and hopefully something changes to where you do get into the playoffs and that your pitching just carries you. But I've never seen, I actually saw this graphic, it was on MLB Network the other day, where it was showing some of their hitting stats and then some of their pitching stats.
Yeah.
And they were either last or dead last in all the hitting stats, but first in all the pitching. And I was like, I don't know if I've ever seen a team that has that big of a disparity as far as, like, being the best in the American League or National League, whatever league you're in, being the best at pitching and then being, like, the worst at hitting. Because they are right there with the White Sox as far as, like, being one of the worst batting teams in the American League. And, again, just that disparity between the two, it's almost shocking that it is that large. Have you ever, like, again, have you ever seen that where a team is this good on one side of the game in pitching or batting? And then, I mean, we've probably seen it a few times where the offense is really good and the pitching sucks, but to see a team like this where the pitching is dominant, starting pitching especially, and then the offense is just on an absolute struggle bus more than you can imagine, it is insane to watch. It's insane to see. And again, it's just a matter of, is one bat going to really change things for this team completely? I don't think it is. It's going to help. It might help you push you into the playoffs, But you're going to need, once Julio comes back, and granted, to his defense, he's been hitting a lot better lately.
Oh, yeah. No, Julio started to be, you know, second half of the season Julio. But
and that's what kind of sucks about this injury is that, you know, it kind of takes some of that the steam out of the engine there, is that he was on the right track. But you're going to have to... You're going to have to pull some things together here. And like you, basically the, what you said is the whole popsicle sticks and tape thing. Like, you're going to have to put some things together and hope it stays together well enough to where you can get through this last 60 games and hopefully find yourself in the playoffs and make something magical happen.
I don't remember a team as bad on one side of the ball, like as good as they are on the other. Like, I'm trying to think of, like, you know, juggernauts in baseball. No, both teams they get to the World Series have great pitching and great hitting. It's a fact. Like, you can't get deep in the playoffs with just one. And yeah, the Mariners need to acquire at least four players. They have the assets to do so. Like I said, though, I don't have the faith in Jerry Dipoto and Scott Service right now. So, I mean, I hope that they do make moves. I hope that they're aggressive. I don't want to see my team just give up for the rest of the season. But, you know, Scott Service said it last night. We are starting to get to the sprint part of this marathon, and it's almost to the end. It's almost to the point where, and every game has mattered along the way, but now everything is being more and more amplified. And, you know, whether or not you leave a starting pitcher in or you take a certain pitcher out, use him in the eighth inning versus the ninth, pinch hit a guy here, every single little thing has more value and is amplified at this point. And if they don't do something, I mean, that locker room is just crumbling, and you hate to see it, but I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do if you're them. You have to do something, but they've been sitting on their hands for so long preaching that their approach is the way to do it. And now I feel like maybe those comments from Jerry Dipoto about, well, you know, we've been doing the fans a favor by playing baseball the way that we're playing. And you know, this 54% approach is really the best way to go. You wonder if that is really starting to come back to bite them in the ass.
Just a bit. You can text in the Vancouver Ford text line 503-864-6326. I mean, are the Mariners really one bat away? Because I feel like that is just not the case. How do you feel about this Mariners team? Is it a lost season? Is it a matter of just get to the dance, almost like the Padres approach? Just get us to the playoffs and let's see if something crazy happens. Kind of like the Diamondbacks last year, right? They were up and down all year, went through some losing streaks, and then they just got into the playoffs and had a pretty magical run to the World Series, falling short. But let us know on the Vancouver Ford text line, 503-864-6326. We'll read some of those on the next segment. And but first, before we do get to that, we have Jordan Schultz with a SportsCenter update. Talking about the Seattle Mariners here and their no good, very bad recent week. This is the tough part. Is there still four games above 500? So it's like, it's not a lost season. Not all hope is lost, but the offense is just so horrid that it does not give you faith in that things are going to change around. Like, if you had a couple players that were doing something well, again, Julio was starting to do that, but now the injury for him, it just takes the wind out of the sails, is that you can't feel optimistic the rest of the season unless you see a collective change in their offensive output. Someone on the YouTube chat saying, everyone chokes every year, get one consistent bat and we back. And I was like, that one bat would have to go on an absolute tear, putting up insane numbers, and hope that Julio can bat them in. I mean, the Angels, I'm sure, have been saying, well, at least we have Mike Trout. We're always going to have a chance. We've seen how well that's gone for them over the last 10, 15 years, however long he's been on that franchise.
Angels just took a 3-0 lead, by the way.
There's an update on the Mariners. I believe the Astros are losing 3-1. Did I see that correctly?
I think you're right.
4-1 now. The Oakland A's lead them. That game over on ESPN Plus, if you subscribe to that. Also, on the Vancouver Ford text line, I feel like they need to crash and tank. If they make the postseason, it just gives management another year of this crap. That's kind of like the poll question, right? Like, even if they make the poll question is, if they miss the playoffs, what will they do? If they make the playoffs, then that gives ownership in the front office like even more excuse to be like, hey guys, we made the playoffs, we're right there. That's how close we are. We just need a few more bats. But again, I don't know how much longer you can keep doing this as a team, fan base, front office of just being like, we're almost there. We're almost there. Because you have yet to have a season where you are clearly one of the better teams in the American League. You're always in the mix, but you are not a division-winning, division-leading, dominant. We finished the season 20, 25 games above 500. Like, you haven't had that season yet.
Nope. They're always one of the most profitable teams, though.
Yeah, and I'm sure that the Mariners front office loves that. You know, just keep throwing out jersey retirements and Mariners Hall of Fame nights, and people will still fill up T-Mobile Park. But again, I just think this team this year, you're going to need a lot of guys to just flip the switch, and I don't know who on that roster is going to do that.
Yeah, it's just scary. You really wonder where Jerry DePoto and Scott Servais can turn at this point. But I do like the texter's point of kind of making, you know, with such a bad end to a season, if the Mariners were just to absolutely tank or suck for the final 60 games of the year, really make Scott Servais and Jerry DePoto eat that crow and really listen to those words and hear that this philosophy is dead wrong. This is not how you're supposed to win a World Series or run an organization, because you literally have identified mediocre talent for the last five seasons to try to bring in and slip amongst these, you know, and I would say you've gotten lucky with pieces like Ty France and others maybe that have given you a couple of seasons of production and then slip those amongst the amazing pitching that you've developed in what, albeit two top prospects or two major league hitters in Julio Rodriguez and Cal Raleigh. Somebody was asking me the other day, like, how many hitters have the Mariners developed in their own system on their roster right now? And really, it's two. Julio and Cal. J.P. Crawford was a trade piece that Jerry DePoto acquired, and rightfully so. I mean, he's talented. He's already won a gold glove. He's a very good hitter when he's on. 250 near batting average, 19 homers last year, had the best season of his career last year. But you can't expect every single player to, after a career peak season, to then build on that season. And that, for some reason, has been the Mariners' philosophy, Joe. They get great play. Ty France all of a sudden becomes a 20 home run a year hitter. Then they think, oh, he can be 20-25 every year. That is so, so not true. I was explaining this to my wife last night, of just the endless list of Major League Baseball players that have had a year, two, maybe three of success, and then just fall off the face of the earth. And there are so many, Joe, that we've seen in Seattle, especially the last 20 years. It's just not the way to build an organization. And maybe that is the way that finally John Stanton, the owner, will realize, okay, you know what? This isn't the way to do it. And DePoto and Servais have been most of that reason.
Well, and to just draw parallels to my team, the Baltimore Orioles, is I'm seeing reports as we're getting close to the trade deadline here that they're considering and looking at and are open to the option of moving on from either Cedric Mullins or Ryan Mountcastle. Mm-hmm. And those are two guys that have been stalwarts on this team for the last 5-6 years when there were bad Orioles teams. But if they make those moves, you know, Cedric Mullins, his numbers have dipped over the last couple of years. Ryan Mountcastle, he is essentially what he is at this point.
Exactly.
And that's one of those where it's like, as a franchise, do you look at these players and are you just like, no, these are our guys. They can get better. Cedric is 29. Mountcastle is about like 26, 27. Might be a little bit older than that. But no, let's just stick with them. You know, maybe the numbers just, they go back up. I draw the parallel because it's, if the Orioles make those moves, to me, it'll be like, wow, they clearly care about trying to get better and figuring out ways to make the roster better. And if that means at the expense of, again, guys that have been stalwarts on this roster and where they essentially are going to, you know, wipe their hands and be like, listen, thank you for your time, but we need to think about the team and we need to think about what this future looks like. That's where DePoto and the Mariners have a tough time doing, is like, no, let's hang on to these guys. No, let's see what we can get out of them instead of just, dude, blow it up. Let's start, strip this down to the studs. Now, this is where, when we get into next season, and that's where the questions will happen in the offseason, and depending on how next year starts, is what does that Mariners team look like? Where do they really blow things up? Do they really look to just get rid of as much as possible? And that's the really crappy thing, is that you have great talent on the pitching staff. You have Julio Rodriguez. You have players on this roster that should be a solid foundational pieces to where you should not have to be considering this. But now it's getting to this point where if you miss the playoffs and you crash out of the standings like you are, and again, these injuries couldn't have been at a worse time, is that where you go into the offseason and next year, like, okay, we're going to give this a real run, and then next year's trade deadline, that's when we blow this all up? Because I think with what you had at the beginning of the year, how you came into it, you have to give it a shot to ride out this year, hope something turns around, and make a run. But if that doesn't happen, you go into the offseason, you highly consider getting rid of DePoto and Service. And then at that point, you bring in new management. Maybe that is what you change. And that is able to fix things for this team. New GM that is able to make some moves. But again, it's like we're getting to some real dire straits here where some things need to change drastically for this franchise.
Your Cedric Mullins comparison is just so perfect, as opposed to how the Mariners would handle him, comparing that to the Orioles' handling of a player like that. Yeah, a smart franchise moves on from those guys that are starting to decline. And let's be honest, and I'm not knocking Cedric Mullins as a human, but as far as the starting nine on the Orioles, he's probably the least talented guy on that roster now. He's kind of taken up at bat, as opposed to really helping you and getting on base and being that speed piece that he was. And he was so good for the Orioles that he got onto the USA team. Like, he representing, you know, your country and getting to be there as one of the best players out there in that year. Like, I was kind of surprised that he got there, but it's because he was so good for the Orioles. That time has passed, though. You now have better players available to you, and if you're a good organization, if you are a five-star team, you move on from those guys. But Jared DePoto seems to think that, you know what, if we can even just get 60 or 70% of his best season's production, we're going to be all right, and they always plan for that. And I know you can't plan a sports organization philosophy like this, but you do have to wonder, what if he has a crappy year? What if he regresses? They have to have these questions in the back of their head. I don't think anybody thought Mitch Garver was going to come in and hit less than 200, but you have to consider, okay, I've got a plan if this does happen. And the Mariners, obviously, Joe, did not have a plan for Jorge Polanco and Mitch Garver not hitting. I mean, and even beyond that, the organization's batting philosophy is in shambles right now, but they didn't even have a plan for those two guys not hitting. We don't even have to bring up their key pieces, but if you don't have a plan, if your two guys that your main acquisitions in the offseason to try to get your lineup going don't work out, you have nothing, yeah, you should lose your job.
On the Vancouver Four text line, then we'll take a break. Okay, so I'm a Brewers fan, and they will never get a World Series, but I'll still watch. Oh, come on. I honestly don't know if I'd rather have them make the playoffs and lose every year. They either have pitching and no hitting or no pitching and good hitting. They suck for me as a kid, and I've been okay for the last 10-plus years, but not great. But I think you have to hit on both sides and then hope for getting hot in the postseason, but Brewers postseason wins are bad. Yeah, I hear you as far as a Brewers fan, and there, just get there. That is kind of the mentality that I lean towards. Is like, just make the playoffs. Hope you can outlast Houston for this last part of the season, because while Houston has played better, they're not great this year either. They're looking for a starting pitcher. I just think that you just have to cross your fingers and hope somehow things click on that side of the team, and that the pitching is able to take you through the playoffs. You get low scoring wins and just pray. And just pray.
Don't overthink it anymore. Go to see ball, hit ball. That's literally what your players need to do. Stop with the approaches. Just see ball, hit ball, and start to play the count. If it's 3-1, get ready to smack a fastball right down the middle. Stop overthinking things. Let's go.
One last text. That's the most frustrating thing yet, guys. Seattle has one of the highest market revenue, and who have they paid rather than Julio? When are they going to use that money? We'll see.
Yep.
We'll see if they do anything at the trade deadline and acquire a big bat or just a meh bat. 60 games left. We are in crunch time here in the MLB season. All right, we're going to take a break. Going to get caught up a little bit. I want to bring this up because I saw this. And this is one of the reasons why I would love to bet. But my God, how do you make this call? We get to that next here. The Hot Corner, 1080 The Fan. Last little bit on the Mariners is that if you want to draw a comparison to a National League team this year, now granted, they've been bit by the injury bug, but it's very similar to the Braves. Braves cannot hit this year. They're pitching dynamite. Even with them not having Spencer Strider, and it sucks because now Max Fried is going to be out for a little bit of time, but you two of the three NL ERA leaders are on the Braves, Reynaldo Lopez and Chris Sale. That's one of those where it's just like, listen, we are clearly not the team that we were supposed to be this year. This is because of injuries and not hitting the ball. Let's just get there. Let's give ourselves a chance, and then hopefully our arms can take us all the way. That's the like comparison that, as far as National League goes, that I can find as far as any other team in the league that is going through what the Mariners are going through.
Maybe Jared Kelnick brought the Mariners curse with him to Atlanta, who, by the way, he's still, I believe he's leading off for them right now in Acuna's absence, and he's still hitting like 250, just smacked his 11th homer of the season the other day. And I was talking to one Brandon Sprague about Kelnick and being like one of their only good hitters right now, and his response to me was like, I don't think he started off the year very good. And I'm like, I'm pretty sure he started the year off hitting 400.
Yeah, he was hitting the ball pretty well to start.
At one point he was, I believe, through April 10th hitting 414. So
now granted, that's like 2 weeks of the season.
But then by the end of the April was hitting 306. But still, man,
which like, as if you're a Mariners fan and he was still a Mariner, and you told them, hey, Jared Kelnick is going to bat 307 up until the end of April. I think Mariner fans would be like, oh, hell yeah, sign me up for that any day of the week. Mariners losing 5-0 now.
5-1, because apparently they had two runners on base with no outs, and then Cade Marlowe grounded into a double play to get a run across the plate, and then they got the third out. So two runners on. They GIDP. This is ridiculous, Joe.
As a professional MLB player in MLB The Show, I can't tell you how frustrating it is grounding into a double play. That is one of my biggest pet peeves.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Talking about the Seattle Mariners here, and their no good, very bad recent week. This is the tough part. Is there still four games above 500? So it's like, it's not a lost season. Not all hope is lost, but the offense is just so horrid that it does not give you faith in that things are going to change around. Like, if you had a couple players that were doing something well again, Julio was starting to do that, but now the injury for him, it just takes the wind out of the sails, is that you can't feel optimistic the rest of the season unless you see a collective change in their offensive output. Someone on the YouTube chat saying, everyone chokes every year, get one consistent bat, and we back. And I was like, that one bat would have to go on an absolute tear, putting up insane numbers, and hope that Julio can bat them in. I mean, the Angels, I'm sure, have been saying, well, at least we have Mike Trout. We're always going to have a chance. We've seen how well that's gone for them over the last 10, 15 years, however long he's been on that franchise.
The Angels just took a 3-0 lead, by the way.
There's an update on the Mariners. I believe the Astros are losing 3-1. Did I see that correctly?
I think you're right.
4-1 now. The Oakland A's lead them. That game over on ESPN Plus if you subscribe to that. Also on the Vancouver Ford text line. No, I feel like they need to crash and tank. If they make the postseason, it just gives management another year of this crap. That's kind of like the poll question, right? Like, even if they make the poll question is, if they miss the playoffs, what will they do? If they make the playoffs, then that gives ownership in the front office like even more excuse to be like, hey guys, we made the playoffs, we're right there, that's how close we are, we just need a few more bats. But again, I don't know how much longer you can keep doing this as a team, fan base, front office of just being like, we're almost there. Because you have yet to have a season where you are clearly one of the better teams in the American League. You're always in the mix, but you are not a division-winning, division-leading, dominant, we finished the season 20, 25 games above 500. Like, you haven't had that season yet.
Nope, they're always one of the most profitable teams, though.
Yeah, and I'm sure that the Mariners front office loves that. You know, just keep throwing out jersey retirements and Mariners Hall of Fame nights, and people will still fill up T-Mobile Park. But again, I just think this team this year, you're going to need a lot of guys to just flip the switch, and I don't know who on that roster is going to do that.
Yeah, it's just scary. You really wonder where Jerry DePoto and Scott Servais can turn at this point. But I do like the texter's point of kind of making, you know, with such a bad end to a season, if the Mariners were just to absolutely tank or suck for the final 60 games of the year, really make Scott Servais and Jerry DePoto eat that crow and really listen to those words and hear that this philosophy is dead wrong. This is not how you're supposed to win a World Series or run an organization, because you literally have identified mediocre talent for the last five seasons to try to bring in and slip amongst these, you know, and I would say you've gotten lucky with pieces like Ty France and others maybe that have given you a couple of seasons of production, and then slip those amongst the amazing pitching that you've developed in what, albeit two top prospects or two major league hitters in Julio Rodriguez and Cal Raleigh. Somebody was asking me the other day, like, how many hitters have the Mariners developed in their own system on their roster right now? And really, it's two. Julio and Cal. J.P. Crawford was a trade piece that Jerry DePoto acquired, and rightfully so. I mean, he's talented. He's already won a gold glove. He's a very good hitter when he's on. 250 near batting average, 19 homers last year, had the best season of his career last year. But you can't expect every single player to, after a career peak season, to then build on that season. And that, for some reason, has been the Mariners' philosophy. Joe, they get great play. Ty France all of a sudden becomes a 20 home run a year hitter. Then they think, oh, he can be 20-25 every year. That is so, so not true. I was explaining this to my wife last night, of just the endless list of Major League Baseball players that have had a year, two, maybe three of success, and then just fall off the face of the earth. And there are so many, Joe, that we've seen in Seattle, especially the last 20 years. It's just not the way to build an organization. And maybe that is the way that finally John Stanton, the owner, will realize, okay, you know what? This isn't the way to do it. And DePoto and Servais have been most of that reason.
Well, and to just draw parallels to my team, the Baltimore Orioles, is I'm seeing reports as we're getting close to the trade deadline here that they're considering and looking at and are open to the option of moving on from either Cedric Mullins or Ryan Mountcastle. Hmm. And those are two guys that have been stalwarts on this team for the last 5-6 years when there were bad Orioles teams. But if they make those moves, you know, Cedric Mullins, his numbers have dipped over the last couple of years. Ryan Mountcastle, he is essentially is what he is at this point.
Exactly.
And that's one of those where it's like, as a franchise, do you look at these players and are you just like, no, these are our guys. They can get better. Cedric is 29. Mountcastle is about like 26, 27. Might be a little bit older than that. But no, let's just stick with them. You know, maybe the numbers just, they go back up. I draw the parallel because it's if the Orioles make those moves, to me, it'll be like, wow, they clearly care about trying to get better and figuring out ways to make the roster better. And if that means at the expense of, again, guys that have been stalwarts on this roster and where they essentially are going to, you know, wipe their hands and be like, listen, thank you for your time, but we need to think about the team and we need to think about what this future looks like. That's where DePoto and the Mariners have a tough time doing is like, no, let's hang on to these guys. No, let's see what we can get out of them instead of just, dude, blow it up. Let's start strip this down to the studs. Now, this is where when we get into next season and that's where the questions will happen in the offseason and depending on how next year starts is what does that Mariners team look like? Where do they really blow things up? Do they really look to just get rid of as much as possible? And that's the really crappy thing is that you have great talent on the pitching staff. You have Julio Rodriguez. You have players on this roster that should be a solid foundational pieces to where you should not have to be considering this. But now it's getting to this point where if you miss the playoffs and you crash out of the standings like you are, and again, these injuries couldn't have been at a worse time. Is that where you go into the offseason and next year, like, okay, we're going to give this a real run, and then next year's trade deadline, that's when we blow this all up? Because I think with what you had at the beginning of the year, how you came into it, you have to give it a shot to ride out this year, hope something turns around, and make a run. But if that doesn't happen, you go into the offseason, you highly consider getting rid of DePoto and Service. And then at that point, you bring in new management. Maybe that is what you change. And that is able to fix things for this team. New GM that is able to make some moves. But again, it's like we're getting to some real dire straits here where some things need to change drastically for this franchise.
Your Cedric Mullins comparison is just so perfect as opposed to how the Mariners would handle him, comparing that to the Orioles' handling of a player like that. Yeah, a smart franchise moves on from those guys that are starting to decline. And let's be honest, and I'm not knocking Cedric Mullins as a human, but as far as the starting nine on the Orioles, he's probably the least talented guy on that roster now. He's kind of taken up at bat as opposed to really helping you and getting on base and being that speed piece that he was. And he was so good for the Orioles that he got onto the USA team. Like, he representing, you know, your country and getting to be there as one of the best players out there in that year. Like, I was kind of surprised that he got there, but it's because he was so good for the Orioles. That time has passed, though. You now have better players available to you. And if you're a good organization, if you are a five-star team, you move on from those guys. But Jared DePoto seems to think that, you know what, if we can even just get 60 or 70% of his best season's production, we're going to be all right. And they always plan for that. And I know you can't plan a sports organization philosophy like this, but you do have to wonder, what if he has a crappy year? What if he regresses? They have to have these questions in the back of their head. I don't think anybody thought Mitch Garver was going to come in and hit less than 200, but you have to consider, okay, I've got a plan if this does happen. And the Mariners, obviously, Joe, did not have a plan for Jorge Polanco and Mitch Garver not hitting. I mean, and even beyond that, the organization's batting philosophy is in shambles right now, but they didn't even have a plan for those two guys not hitting. We don't even have to bring up their key pieces, but if you don't have a plan, if your two guys that your main acquisitions in the offseason to try to to try to get your lineup going don't work out, you have nothing, yeah, you should lose your job.
On the Vancouver Four text line, then we'll take a break. Okay, so I'm a Brewers fan, and they will never get a World Series, but I'll still watch. Oh, come on. I honestly don't know if I'd rather have them make the playoffs and lose every year. They either have pitching and no hitting or no pitching and good hitting. They sucked for me as a kid, and I've been okay for the last 10-plus years, but not great. But I think you have to hit on both sides and then hope for getting hot in the postseason, but Brewers postseason wins are bad. Yeah, I hear you as far as a Brewers fan, and there, just get there. That is kind of the mentality that I lean towards. Is like, just make the playoffs. Hope you can outlast Houston for this last part of the season. Because while Houston has played better, they're not great this year either. They're looking for a starting pitcher. I just think that you just have to cross your fingers and hope somehow things click on that side of the team, and that the pitching is able to take you through the playoffs. You get low scoring wins and just pray. And just pray.
Don't overthink it anymore. Go to see ball, hit ball. That's literally what your players need to do. Stop with the approaches. Just see ball, hit ball, and start to play the count. If it's 3-1, get ready to smack a fastball right down the middle. Stop overthinking things. Let's go.
One last text. That's the most frustrating thing yet, guys. Seattle has one of the highest market revenue, and who have they paid rather than Julio? When are they going to use that money? We'll see. Yep. We'll see if they do anything at the trade deadline and acquire a big bat or just a meh bat. 60 games left. We are in crunch time here in the MLB season. All right, we're going to take a break. Going to get caught up a little bit. I want to bring this up because I saw this. And this is one of the reasons why I would love to bet. But my God, how do you make this call? We get to that next here. The Hot Corner, 1080 The Fan. Last little bit on the Mariners is that if you want to draw a comparison to a National League team this year, now granted, they've been bit by the injury bug, but it's very similar to the Braves. Braves cannot hit this year. They're pitching dynamite. Even with them not having Spencer Strider, and it sucks because now Max Fried is going to be out for a little bit of time, but you, two of the three NL ERA leaders are on the Braves, Reynaldo Lopez and Chris Sale. That's one of those where it's just like, listen, we are clearly not the team that we were supposed to be this year. This is because of injuries and not hitting the ball. Let's just get there. Let's give ourselves a chance, and then hopefully our arms can take us all the way. That's the like comparison that, as far as National League goes, that I can find as far as any other team in the league that is going through what the Mariners are going through.
Maybe Jared Kelnick brought the Mariners first with him to Atlanta, who, by the way, he's still, I believe he's leading off for them right now in Acuna's absence, and he's still hitting like 250, just smacked his 11th homer of the season the other day. And I was talking to one Brandon Sprague about Kelnick and being like one of their only good hitters right now, and his response to me was like, I don't think he started off the year very good. And I'm like, I'm pretty sure he started the year off hitting 400.
Yeah, he was hitting the ball pretty well to start.
Yeah, at one point he was, I believe, through April 10th hitting 414. So
now granted, that's like 2 weeks of the season.
But then by the end of the by the end of April was hitting 306. But still, man,
which like, as on. If you're a Mariners fan and he was still a Mariner, and you told them, hey, Jared Kelnick is going to bat 307 up until the end of April. I think Mariner fans would be like, oh, hell yeah, sign me up for that any day of the week. Mariners losing 5-0 now.
No, 5-1, because apparently they had two runners on base with no outs, and then Cade Marlowe grounded into a double play to get a run across the plate, and then they got the third out. So two runners on. They GIDP. This is ridiculous, Joe.
As a professional MLB player in MLB The Show, I can't tell you how frustrating it is grounding into a double play. That is one of my biggest pet peeves on MLB The Show when I'm playing Road to the Show. My player is grounding into double plays. Just absolutely infuriating. I don't even care if I score a run.
Yeah.
Like, and get an RBI on it. Grinding into double plays drives me insane.
I mean, a strikeout at that point is literally better for you. So, like, so don't do it.
I'd take it. I'd take it. All right. I saw this parlay earlier on the Twitter sphere. And these are listen, gamble responsibly. Not all parlays hit. In fact, a lot of them don't hit.
I'm a degenerate, though, Joe. I love me a good parlay.
But,
love me a good parlay.
two-leg parlay, all right?
Oh, so, okay, so not that hard.
Not that hard.
Okay, two legs.
But the two legs were player props. Stephen Kwan to hit a home run today.
Oh, home run parlays.
And Luis Arias to hit a home run today.
Oh, see, those parlays, you go like, and I think Stephen Kwan to hit a home run any given day is probably like, what, plus 700 or something?
It was a plus 1300 for Stephen Kwan to hit a home run today.
And then what was the other one?
Luis Arias to hit a home run, also plus 1300.
Oh my God. So we're talking like plus 40,000 for the parlay odds. So something
Steven,
like that.
Stephen Kwan, he's got 10 home runs this year. And then Luis Arias, I think he has like four or something like that. I feel like the last time I actually looked at his full stat line, that it was like two or three home runs, something like that. So
it's just the random shot over the top.
He literally has three home runs this year.
Yep.
Now, the stats I'm looking at, I don't know if they include today's numbers, because you got a home run from Stephen Kwan and Luis Arias on the same day, and that parlay, that two-leg parlay, a simple two-leg parlay, that's it, right? About two bets.
Yeah.
That was plus 19,500.
Not 40,000, plus almost 20,000. Okay. Yeah, still crazy odds, though.
And it hit. And the guy who tweeted this out, I believe it was a $25 bet.
Oh, my God.
And he walked away with $4,900 on that thing.
Ooh, that, baby, that is how you beat the books right there.
But the absolute balls to say, you know what? I think this is the day that Stephen Kwan and Luis Arias are both hit a home run.
Wow.
You know, the guys who are known for basically just getting on base with singles and hitting the ball and putting it into play all season long. Again, Luis Arias, and I don't know if this includes his numbers from today, three home runs on the season. Three. Like, the guy is batting, let's see here, the total average is like 300. I mean,
he's a good hitter, but he just doesn't hit homers.
It's dipped a bit. He's 309 now. What a bum, right?
Oh, yeah.
When Luis Arias is batting 309, you're like, what's wrong with him?
Is he okay? Is he in a slump?
Why is he not batting 360? But the dude has three home runs. He has 26 RBIs this year, for God's sakes.
And those are just lottery tickets that you throw out there hoping, oh, guys that don't hit homers, maybe, hey, if it hits today, I'm going to be a rich man. And wow, $5,000 later. Oh, my God.
It's over!
I don't know who I was talking with. Oh, I was out golfing with a couple buddies the other day, and we were having the gambling conversation, and they were basically coming to the consensus, like, you're a baseball gambler, you're getting into degenerate territory. And I'm talking about, like, daily player props, like, that kind of stuff. Like, if you want to take out a futures ticket on a World Series winner, something like that, you know, go for it. But if you are daily betting on baseball for player props, game props, first five inning run total, spreads in the first five innings, the first inning or whatever, I'm telling you, I got my buddy Tanner. He is by far the biggest gambling degenerate I know.
Yeah.
Like some of the bets he's told me about, not just in baseball, but in all sports. It is unreal. This guy, and he puts in the work, he puts in the research. And he has been making some money off of one Bobby Witt Jr. this year.
Ooh, he's a stud. He's having a great year.
And I wanted to get into this a little bit. We're up against it. But if you want to lay a couple schmeckles down on Bobby Witt Jr. for AL MVP, you can get him at like plus 600, plus 750 right now. Because the dude is on an absolute tear to start the second half of the year. Going into today, he was like 12 of 14 in the first few games. Good from All-Star God. Break. He went 1-for-4 today, bum, just like Luis Arias. But for God's sakes, he almost had a cycle halfway through the game yesterday. And if he's able to put the team on his back and get the Royals into the playoffs, I believe they have the final wild card spot at this moment in time. But if he is able to push them into not just a playoff spot, but maybe sneak up on Cleveland and win that division, highly unlikely. They're five games out. But hey, yeah, we have seen September collapses. And Aaron Judge, I mean, if the Yankees continue to slide and he isn't able to hit like he did in the month of May and June, then maybe Bobby Witt sneaks up and snags himself an AL MVP. He now leads the American League in wins above replacement.
He is one of the best young players in the game right now. And unfortunately, you cannot compare Julio Rodriguez to him at this point. Bobby Witt is amazing. My God.
You know, I wish he was just a little bit better on my MLB The Show team, though, because my Joe Fisher, the star third baseman for the Kansas City Royals, who is just having an absolute fantastic full season in his second year in the league. I would like a little bit more support from my offensive lineup. And Bobby Witt, he gives me some, but he's not doing this. He's not doing stuff like this on a regular occurrence. So if he can, up his production a little bit more in MLB The Show for my Royals, I'd be a happy camper. Because, listen, the run support, the offensive firepower, it's all me. I am putting the team on my back in that franchise right now.
Kind of mad that there's no Joe Fisher home run prop for MLB The Show. Give me some money on that, baby.
Oh, dude, I've been absolutely raking. I was on pace for like 62 home runs at one point.
Ooh,
like 180 RBIs or something like that. I don't know if I want to bump up the difficulty level.
No, it's too fun.
I'm on veteran mode right now.
Yeah, yeah. I played through veteran mode in the minors, and I think I hit like 100 home runs in the season before I got called up. So, yeah, no, it's fun.
Yeah, MVP, it's looking good right now.
Oh, yeah.
I could be hitting for the triple crown, getting MVP, getting a gold glove, silver slugger, just getting all of it, all the awards. Give them to me. All right, we got hour number two coming up. I want to play a fun little game with Schultzy. Trade or fade? I got some players that have been rumored, talked about, that could be on the move, and we will decide if they will be traded or fade the idea that they will be traded, because at this very time next week, the trade deadline will be passed, and we will know where these players are playing, if they are on their current team or on a new franchise. I also want to talk about how annoying the Dodgers are and how annoyed the Braves must be. Maybe some, if we got time, most disappointing teams in baseball as Ooh. Well. Not sure if we got a fair or foul tonight, but if not, we can parlay that most disappointing teams into most disappointing players in the MLB this season with just 60 games left. We've hit the 100-game mark. So we are in the final home stretch of the MLB season.
We got some bad news about Mike Trout the next hour to get to as well.
I saw that.
Yeah, that is not good, bro.
Yeah,
I think we really got to start talking about Mike Trout's MLB career as a whole and exactly what he can be viewed as, because,
Yep, we'll probably have to see you next year, Mike. We get to hour number two. We'll see you there next here, the Hot Corner, 1080 The Fan.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Last little bit on the Mariners is that if you want to draw a comparison to a National League team this year, now granted, they've been bit by the injury bug, but it's very similar to the Braves. Braves cannot hit this year. They're pitching dynamite. Even with them not having Spencer Strider, and it sucks because now Max Fried is going to be out for a little bit of time, but you two of the three NL ERA leaders are on the Braves, Reynaldo Lopez and Chris Sale. That's one of those where it's just like, listen, we are clearly not the team that we were supposed to be this year. This is because of injuries and not hitting the ball. Let's just get there. Let's give ourselves a chance, and then hopefully our arms can take us all the way. That's the like comparison that, as far as National League goes, that I can find as far as any other team in the league that is going through what the Mariners are going through.
Maybe Jared Kelnick brought the Mariners curse with him to Atlanta, who, by the way, he's still, I believe he's leading off for them right now in Acuna's absence, and he's still hitting like 250, just smacked his 11th homer of the season the other day. And I was talking to one Brandon Sprague about Kelnick and being like one of their only good hitters right now, and his response to me was like, I don't think he started off the year very good. And I'm like, I'm pretty sure he started the year off hitting 400.
Yeah, he was hitting the ball pretty well to start.
Yeah, at one point he was, I believe, through April 10th hitting 414. So
now granted, that's like 2 weeks of the season.
But then by the end of the by the end of April was hitting 306. But still, man,
which like, as if you're a Mariners fan and he was still a Mariner, and you told them, hey, Jared Kelnick is going to bat 307 up until the end of April. I think Mariner fans would be like, oh, hell yeah, sign me up for that any day of the week. Mariners losing 5-0 now.
No, 5-1, because apparently they had two runners on base with no outs, and then Cade Marlowe grounded into a double play to get a run across the plate, and then they got the third out. So two runners on. They GIDP. This is ridiculous, Joe.
As a professional MLB player in MLB The Show, I can't tell you how frustrating it is grounding into a double play. That is one of my biggest pet peeves on MLB The Show when I'm playing Road to the Show. My player is grounding into double plays. Just absolutely infuriating. I don't even care if I score a run.
Yeah.
Like, and to get an RBI on it. Grinding into double plays drives me insane.
I mean, a strikeout at that point is literally better for you. So, like, don't do it.
I'd take it. All right. I saw this parlay earlier on the Twitter sphere. And these are gamble responsibly. Not all parlays hit. In fact, a lot of them don't hit.
I'm a degenerate, though, Joe. I love me a good parlay.
Two-leg parlay, all right?
Oh, so not that hard.
Not that hard.
Okay, two legs.
But the two legs were player props. Steven Kwan to hit a home run today.
Oh, home run parlays.
And Luis Arias to hit a home run today.
Oh, see, those parlays, you go like, and I think Steven Kwan to hit a home run any given day is probably like, what, plus 700 or something?
It was a plus 1,300 for Steven Kwan to hit a home run today.
And then what was the other one?
Luis Arias to hit a home run. Also, plus 1,300.
Oh, my God. So we're talking like plus 40,000 for the parlay odds.
So
Steven
Kwan, he's got 10 home runs this year. And then the Luis Arias, I think he has like four or something like that. I feel like the last time I actually looked at his full stat line, that it was like two or three home runs, something like that. So
it's just the random shot over the top.
He literally has three home runs this year.
Yep.
Now, the stats I'm looking at, I don't know if they include today's numbers, because you got a home run from Steven Kwan and Luis Arias on the same day. And that parlay, that two-leg parlay, a simple two-leg parlay, that's it, right? About two bets.
Yeah.
That was plus 19,500.
So, not 40,000, plus almost 20,000. Okay. Yeah, still crazy odds, though.
And it hit. And the guy who tweeted this out, I believe it was a $25 bet.
Oh, my God.
And he walked away with $4,900 on that thing.
That is how you beat the books right there.
But the absolute balls to say, you know what? I think this is the day that Steven Kwan and Luis Arias are both hit a home run.
Wow.
You know, the guys who are known for basically just getting on base with singles and hitting the ball and putting it into play all season long. Again, Luis Arias, and I don't know if this includes his numbers from today, three home runs on the season. Three. Like, The guy is batting, let's see here, the total average is like 300. I mean,
he's a good hitter, but he just doesn't hit homers.
It's dipped a bit. He's 309 now. What a bum, right?
Oh, yeah.
When
terrible.
Luis Arraez is batting 309, you're like, what's wrong with him?
Is he okay? Is he in a slump?
Why is he not batting 360? But the dude has three home runs. He has 26 RBIs this year, for God's sakes.
And those are just lottery tickets that you throw out there hoping, oh, guys that don't hit homers, maybe, hey, if it hits today, I'm going to be a rich man. And wow, $5,000 later. Oh, my God.
It's over.
I don't know who I was talking with. Oh, I was out golfing with a couple buddies the other day, and we were having the gambling conversation, and they were basically coming to the consensus, like, you're a baseball gambler, you're getting into degenerate territory. And I'm talking about, like, daily player props, like, that kind of stuff. Like, if you want to take out a futures ticket on a World Series winner, something like that, you know, go for it. But if you are daily betting on baseball for player props, game props, first five-inning run total, spreads in the first five innings, the first inning or whatever, I'm telling you, I got my buddy Tanner. He is by far the biggest gambling degenerate I know.
Yeah.
Like, some of the bets he's told me about, not just in baseball, but in all sports, it is unreal. This guy, and he puts in the work, he puts in the research, and he has been making some money off of one Bobby Witt Jr. this year.
Ooh, he's a stud. He's having a great year.
And I wanted to get into this a little bit. We're up against it, but if you want to lay a couple schmeckles down on Bobby Witt Jr. for AL MVP, you can get him at like plus 600, plus 750 right now, because the dude is on an absolute tear to start the second half of the year. Going into today, he was like 12 of 14 in the first few games. Good from God. All-Star break. He went 1-for-4 today, bum, just like Luis Arraez. But for God's sakes, he almost had a cycle halfway through the game yesterday. And if he's able to put the team on his back and get the Royals into the playoffs, I believe they have the final wild card spot at this moment in time. But if he is able to push them into not just a playoff spot, but maybe sneak up on Cleveland and win that division, highly unlikely. They're five games out. But hey, yeah, we have seen September collapses. And Aaron Judge, I mean, if the Yankees continue to slide and he isn't able to hit like he did in the month of May and June, then maybe Bobby Witt sneaks up and snags himself an AL MVP. He now leads the American League in wins above replacement.
He is one of the best young players in the game right now. And unfortunately, you cannot compare Julio Rodriguez to him at this point. Bobby Witt is amazing. My God.
You know, I wish he was just a little bit better on my MLB The Show team, though, because my Joe Fisher, the star third baseman for the Kansas City Royals, who is just having an absolute fantastic full season in his second year in the league, I would like a little bit more support from my offensive lineup. And Bobby Witt, he gives me some, but he's not doing this. He's not doing stuff like this on a regular occurrence. So if he can, you know, up his production a little bit more on MLB The Show for my Royals, I'd be a happy camper. Because, listen, the run support, the offensive firepower, it's all me. I am putting the team on my back in that franchise right now.
Kind of mad that there's no Joe Fisher home run prop for MLB The Show. Give me some money on that, baby.
Oh, dude, I've been absolutely raking. I was on pace for like 62 home runs at one point.
Ooh,
like 180 RBIs or something like that. I don't know if I want to bump up the difficulty level.
No, it's too fun.
I'm on veteran mode right now.
Yeah, yeah. I played through veteran mode in the minors, and I think I hit like 100 home runs in the season before I got called up. So, yeah, no, it's fun.
Yeah, MVP, it's looking good right now.
Oh, yeah.
I could be hitting for the triple crown, getting MVP, getting a gold glove, silver slugger, just getting all of it, all the awards. Give them to me. All right, we got hour number two coming up. I want to play a fun little game with Schultzy. Trade or fade? I got some players that have been rumored, talked about, that could be on the move, and we will decide if they will be traded or fade the idea that they will be traded, because at this very time next week, the trade deadline will be passed, and we will know where these players are playing, if they are on their current team or on a new franchise. I also want to talk about how annoying the Dodgers are and how annoyed the Braves must be. Maybe some, if we got time, most disappointing teams in baseball as well. Not sure if we got a fair or foul tonight, but if not, we can parlay that most disappointing teams into most disappointing players in the MLB this season with just 60 games left. We've hit the 100-game mark. So we are in the final home stretch of the MLB season.
We got some bad news about Mike Trout the next hour to get to as well.
I saw that.
Yeah, that is not good, bro.
Yeah,
I think we really got to start talking about Mike Trout's MLB career as a whole and exactly what he can be viewed as, because,
Yep, we'll probably have to see you next year, Mike. We get to hour number two. We'll see you there next here, the Hot Corner, 1080 The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.